we're looking at being used by God in different ways. And I'm going through a series called Preparing for Christmas. And last week we looked at preparing for the miraculous. And today we'll be looking at being prepared to be used as instruments of God. Preparing our hearts and our lives to be used by God. You see, we're really born with selfishness kind of hardwired in us. You don't have to teach a child selfishness. A lot of times, you know, some of the first words you might hear out of a child, one word might be mine, right? Do we have to teach them that? No, but it's really kind of hardwired in us that selfishness sometimes it can be hard to deal with, because we know that when it comes to Christ and looking at his example, that we're supposed to reject that way and not only be God-focused, but be others-focused, focusing on others. We want to focus on God's will and less of our own. And we will have wants, we'll have desires, but when they come into conflict with God's will, his will takes priority. And sometimes we'll have to change our plans. I'm a person who doesn't like to change plans. I like to have a plan and stay with it. But you know what? Sometimes we will have to change our plans. Sometimes we'll have to change our attitudes. We might even be asked to change our dreams so that God's plans, God's attitudes, and God's dreams become ours. And we let go of those things that we might have held tightly. Sometimes that can be very difficult. And I know a number of you have your own stories of maybe when God asked you to put something aside, to put a dream aside in order to make room for his. It can be difficult and it may take time, and it doesn't just happen, but today we're preparing to be instruments of God. An instrument is something that can do great things, like a piano. You know, a piano can put out some beautiful music, but it's not going to do it by itself. It needs a musician, someone to play it, and we too can do great things if we are directed and empowered by the Lord. And I want to say the best example of an instrument of God is Mary, Jesus' mother. And if you know the Christmas story, you're probably familiar with Mary and how she was picked by God and used by him to be Jesus' mother. And I want to take a moment here to share a few words of caution before we really get into looking at Mary. And I believe there's two mistakes that can be made when Christians start looking at Mary. And I would say the first mistake is to overemphasize her role. There are some in the Christian faith who would elevate Mary to be almost godlike, to be sinless. And I would say probably the worst of all, to be a co-redeemer of sorts. That is, a redeemer is someone who takes away sins. To look at her as a redeemer. We can't fall into that trap. Mary is not like another Jesus. And Scripture is pretty clear on that. Jesus alone is God. He is our redeemer. Mary was a woman saved by grace. She's like you and me in that she and us, we fall short. We have sin in our lives and we're in need of salvation. I think the second mistake when looking at Mary is probably a response to those who overemphasize, and that is to underemphasize her, to leave her out, to leave her out of the story of Jesus altogether, or to reduce her, diminish her role. You know, we really, when we look at Mary, we do need a balanced approach, looking at her role in the life of Jesus. And Mary was a godly woman. She was chosen by God for a very special purpose. And when God looked to use her in a special way, here's something that she did. She said yes. She said yes, not knowing what the future would hold. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, let's begin a reading out of Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 23. Luke 1, 23. Sorry, guys, you'll have to switch them in the back. Alrighty. Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." I underlined two words in that passage, and I wanted to highlight them. In verse 23, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." And then verse 30, "Do not be afraid, you have found favor with God." We're looking at this translation uses favor in both of those verses. But I wanted to just point out a couple of things. If you have the King James Version Bible, you might see a phrase at the end of verse 28, "Blessed are you among women." Now it's left out of some of the modern translations because it wasn't in earlier manuscripts. And it might have been a scribal notation. But anyways, blessed is actually an accurate look of what that word favor is. She was blessed because the Lord's presence was with her. That word favored in verse 28 has more to do with being blessed. And then in verse 30, that word favored word is more about grace. The Lord would... I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. She's a recipient of grace. Now, we look at favor, and she's favored because she received God's grace. And I know this is deep, but if it were not for God's grace, the Lord would not be with her, and she would not have been favored or blessed. So when we are looking at preparing ourselves to be an instrument, we must realize that we are all in need of God's grace. You want to be used by God, you have to realize you are in need of God's grace. Grace is not being given what we deserve. That's what grace is. We deserve punishment. We deserve separation from our holy God. But instead, when we put our trust in Him, He gives us grace and blesses us with His presence. That's awesome. God uses people only by His grace. And for those who have not invited Christ into their lives or have not put their trust in Him, I just want you to know that Jesus is standing there waiting for you to let Him in. Jesus' work on the cross made that same grace that was given to Mary available to all of us. That same grace that was given to Mary is available to all when we put our trust in Jesus. Now let's read on in verses 31 through 34. "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." We see, that Mary is now receiving some news of how God intends to use her. This is not Mary doubting or objecting. She is hearing what the angel is telling her, and she is responding, I would say, with a reasonable question. How will this be? She's not married to Joseph yet. It would be impossible for her to be a child as she is still a virgin. Now we'll talk about that impossibility after a little bit. But what are we seeing as we prepare to be used as instruments of God? It is good to pay attention to what God is doing. It's good to be learning. Has the Lord been speaking to you? Has He been sharing anything with you? Have you been in His Word? Have you been looking to learn more about Him? 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." It's to grow in knowledge. Now, Mary may have just asked a question, a simple question, how can this be? But I think all of us need to be asking some questions. Lord, what is there for me? What do you have for me? What would you have me do? And maybe there's things we don't understand about God. Are we asking questions? Are we trying to learn more about God? It's getting down to, are we teachable? Are we wanting to learn more? Are we trying to dive into God's Word even more? And after Mary's question, the angel answers her question. So let's read on and look at that in verses 35 through 37. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. The power of the Most High will overshadow you." When God uses us as instruments, we must really understand that we are empowered by God to do His will. I have experienced and I have seen others doing things that they think is from God, only to try and do it under their own strength, which oftentimes doesn't really work out well. Okay, maybe this is something God wants me to do, but I'm not going to rely on Him. I'm just going to do it myself and see how it goes. It's often failure or incomplete. To be instruments of the Lord, we must operate in His power. And that can be tough because not only are we seeking to do His will, now we must discern, what does that look like? What does it look like? A call to the ministry. What does that look like? That could be a whole variety of different things. You know, there's often little things that God is directing us to do or showing us to do, and we have to discern, what is this, Lord? How can I do what you've asked me to do? And even discern timing. I remember, just to let you know, when I was called into ministry, I'm like, okay, I said yes, let's go. Well, God's like, hey, it's not going to happen that fast. So things had to slow down to discern, okay, when the right time to go, God opens the door. And do we make mistakes? We might make mistakes. We might see failure. And I'm not going to say that's all bad. It's not all bad all the time, because as we think we hear God telling us to do something, and then we move forward and we're trying to understand, how can I do this? Or what does God really want from me? And sometimes we make a mistake and didn't maybe hear correctly, or maybe we put too much emotion in it, and all of a sudden we're having to take a step back and say, okay, Lord, I didn't have that quite right. I'm going to be in prayer a little more. And that's how we learn sometimes too. How are we learning the voice of God? How do we're learning from mistakes and we're growing from things when as we move forward in our desire to serve the Lord. But when it comes to being empowered by the Lord and doing His will and us trying to figure out if we're on the right track, I think a verse, John 15:5, is helpful to me. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. When we're remaining in Him, and other translations might use a different word, abiding. When we are abiding in Him, we are empowered to do what He has called us to do. He's helping us to hear His voice and understand His voice. Even daily living things of bearing spiritual fruit is a result of abiding in the Lord. If we are preparing to be instruments of the Lord who are empowered to do His will, then we need to be abiding in Christ, need to be abiding in Christ all the time. To abide is to live, to continue, to remain. So to abide in Christ is to live in Him or remain in Him. It kind of gives me a picture of an intimate, close relationship. Not just a superficial, hey God, I'll just keep walking this way. No. It's a close relationship. We're talking all the time. When we are operating under the empowerment of the Lord, there is nothing impossible for Him. For Mary, how can she conceive a baby spontaneously? That might seem like it's impossible. And many people will look at Mary and tell her that she's lying. They'll accuse her of adultery. It would be impossible in their minds. But truly, there is nothing impossible for the Creator of the universe. The one who created everything out of nothing. There's nothing impossible for Him. I'd like to read on verse 38. Just one verse here. Mary's response to the angel. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. In this one verse, I want to share two principles in preparing to be instruments of God. The first one is out of the first half. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. We need to understand that we all have a purpose in God's kingdom. Yes, we're all commissioned to share our faith and to make disciples and to continue to learn and teach as disciples. But oftentimes God has more for us individually, and He also has more for us as a church. But for Mary, God had chosen her to be used in a special way by giving birth to Jesus, who would ultimately bring salvation to others. Many often wonder why Mary specifically, and we don't have the full answer because we don't know what God knows. God needed a mother to carry the Messiah, and God chose Mary for that purpose. We all have a purpose. Now, our purpose is not to carry a child or the Messiah. But we all have a purpose. God is using me as a pastor, but that's not all. God is also using me as a husband and as a father. In my time on earth, I hope God uses me in many different ways. Maybe there's more yet in store. I don't know. But I know God has a purpose for me, and I am His servant. whatever he calls. Do you identify yourself as the Lord's servant? He has a purpose for you. So let's look at the second point of that verse that I want to point out. And the second or principle is God is looking for willing hearts. As we prepare to be instruments of God, we must be willing. We must be willing. Mary declares herself a servant, but she also says, "May it be to me as you have said." Her answer was yes, even though she's going to go through a pretty difficult time. Not only explaining her pregnancy and almost losing her soon-to-be husband, Joseph, but she would feel the pain of losing a child. She will see her child suffer greatly. And she will also see a full spectrum of hatred and evil and depravity when they crucify her son on a cross. That yes is a tough yes for her. If God is giving her a task and empowering her to do it, her answer was yes. She would rely on God to carry her through. And it wasn't all tough, though, seeing her son perform miracles, to see her son begin to change the world. That had to be pretty amazing. Had to be pretty amazing. But for us, preparing to be God's instrument, can you say that your answer is yes before you know what is asked? Moses at the burning bush, many of us know that story. He didn't want to say yes. He didn't want to say yes. He had grown pretty comfortable where he was at. And he had a lot of excuses on why he wasn't the right person to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Mary would have felt very unqualified herself to do what God had called her to do. But her answer was yes, right away. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be as what you've said. And God is looking for willing hearts in us. He's looking for those who will say yes. So I'd like to just recap a little bit of what we've gone through so far. We know that God's grace brings us favor, and we need to receive it, not reject it. We are growing in grace and knowledge as we learn more about our Lord. And as instruments, we receive and rely on the empowerment of God that He gives us to fulfill the will He's called us to. We abide in Him completely, because without Him, we can do nothing. And as instruments, we know that God has a purpose for us. And we are preparing to say yes when God speaks. We're preparing to say yes. Isaiah 6:8 is just a verse that came to mind when I was preparing this message. Isaiah 6:8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Are you willing to be used by God? Are you willing to say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Here's my mouth. Use me." I could probably end the message there. I just have a little bit more I wanted to share. A few verses down in Luke, Mary shows us how we can respond to God using us. When God asks us to do something difficult, as instruments of God, we give all the glory and praise to Him. So Luke 1:46 through 47, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.'" We rejoice in all the things the Lord has done. In Mary's life, She rejoiced. And the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ and the work God is doing in our lives, we can rejoice. You know, we might be having a hard time. Maybe something that he's asked us to do is to really step out of our comfort zone. And maybe we're feeling a bit hesitant. But here we see Mary showing us, yeah, in the midst of that difficult or hesitation, we can give glory to God because we know he's going to carry us through. We know that we can trust him. We know that he is a good God. God doesn't use us so that we can gain praise ourselves, but that he can be praised in what he has done through us. So the things he does through us, he gets the praise. Praise the Lord.